This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The pensioners are back, but with no walking sticks in sight. They're carefree, wherever they may be. They're the famous CFC. Blue is their colour and football is their game. If you come to Stamford Bridge, you'll remember their name. It's the Chelsea Fancast on Love Sport.
This is Love Sport Radio. Good evening. My name is Aaron Paul, and welcome to your final set of London football fan shows for another week.
I thought you meant for this year for a minute.
No, for another week. That's next.
I thought we had a day off next week.
That's next week. Yeah, joining me in the building down the right hand flank is Mr. Stamford Chidge.
Hello, good evening, everybody. How are
salutations.
We? Salutations.
Jonathan Kidd.
Kido.
Salutations.
Anyway, and sporting the. A very festive bit of knitwear. It's Clayton Bierman.
Good evening.
Good to have you in the building, pal.
It's Christmas jumper day, and just like every other donut in the city, I am sporting said jumper.
Do you have to wear one? Is it compulsory?
No, it's not. It is your choice, if you'd like to. And I have to say that this is the most tasteful one I can find.
It's my wife, because I don't work for companies and things, so I don't have to go through this rigmarole. Yes. But my wife tries to make me do this Christmas Day, and I tell her what she can do with it.
Is this stressed
out? And does that have anything to do with stuffing?
It does, funnily enough. Does. But not roasting.
Do you know what I've always wondered? Is like, you know, like barristers and stuff going to court, do you reckon they still take part in it?
Absolutely.
Christmas wigs.
I sentence you to...
The inns of courts were full of funny jumpers.
A couple of days with a turkey.
You know, yes. I sentence you to 25 years in...
25 tickles.
Yeah. And it's just like, okay, great, lovely. And he's wearing a Christmas jumper. I saw a brilliant Christmas jumper. And I've got to shout out Ollie Cook, who's on our Charlton Athletic fan show yesterday. Despite whatever's going on at that football club, they produce one of the best jumpers I've ever seen. It's like a grey sweatshirt with just tiny little Christmas trees and snowmans and Charlton badges all over, and it's just covered in it. Oh, and it looks like a Where's Wally, basically. It's absolutely brilliant. Yeah. So shout out Ollie Cook.
Do you think Chelsea would do that?
They've got their own Christmas jumpers.
Have they?
Yeah. Apparently, the Christmas jumper of the year was the Gareth Southgate one.
Was it got a little
waistcoat
on it?
It's a waistcoat. Yeah. Oh, it's just Christmas is coming home.
clever.
Anyway, coming up on tonight's show, looking back at Vidi versus Chelsea, Chelsea versus City, looking ahead to Brighton and Hove Albion versus Chelsea. Got the Chelsea quiz. Hey, Chidge, what's coming up on the Chelsea quiz?
Do you want to know what the quiz is?
Yes, Chidge quiz.
All right, this is a good one this week.
Goodie.
And I nicked this from, I can't remember his real name. It's possibly one of my Twitter people, Sexton.
Blake.
Bob Sexton.
Could have been.
Bob Sexton.
Bob Osgood.
Anyway,
Dave Sexton.
Yeah. No, not Dave. Bob Osgood. He's dead, mate.
Peter Osgood.
Has nobody told you? Has nobody told you? Just can you punch him for me? Because I can't quite reach. The quiz tonight, nicked from possibly Bob Osgood. Basically, he kind of was muting on Twitter last night because we had Callum Hudson-Odoi and Ruben Loftus-Cheek. And
no Jake Clark-Salt with
them. No, well, you're giving them away, man. Shut up.
Shush.
Sorry.
Because the question is, who are all... And I've not said hyphenated. I've said double-barreled. Because they might not have a hyphen. But what I'm saying is here is
David
that
Anson
any...
Collins.
Shush! Or you'll be removed.
Ooh.
Okay?
Right in the gallery.
Ooh. So, no, basically what I want are all the Chelsea players with double-barreled names. They can be hyphenated, but it's like, where, you know, first name, Christian name, plus two kind of surname type things.
Like Ian Story Moore, who used to play for for Notts Forest.
That's exactly it. But not, for example, Juan Sebastian Veron, because that's two first names. Or Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink.
I was just about to ask about it.
So it's people who have got two surnames, basically, and there are not many, actually. I think there may be about...
Are we talking about footballers in general or just Chelsea?
How about a nickname with it? You can't have a nickname. It can't be Clive Fletcher Walker.
Do you know
I
what?
Cannot be any clearer than I have been. You can be quiet for a second. Eight. There are eight players that I have found. I want you to find me the eight that I have found
Don't look at me. Peter Rhodes Brown.
Well, why are you doing it all now? We do this at the end.
Well, you just looked at me like...
You looked at both of us. He did. You did, Chidge. You did.
Do you know what?
He's not on there.
I'll tell you what. The weird thing was, he was on there when I did this yesterday. So I must
spooky.
Have deleted it. That's nine.
There's one person who's actually changed their name this season.
Deliberately, to get on Chidge's list?
Yes.
Another one I've missed.
I bet you haven't got it.
Well, go
and
on.
I bet you haven't got another one.
If he's a Chelsea player, I don't want to know.
We're gonna do that.
Who is it then?
Bobby Reid de Cordova.
Yes.
You what?
Yes.
You know Bobby Reid who plays for Cardiff City?
He changed his name
to get his mum's name and his dad's name.
Right.
I bet you haven't got another one. Andre Baiki Amagou. Drumba used to play for Reading. Andre Baiki.
He
changed his name to Andre Baiki Amagou.
He one of those players who was absolute pony until he played against us and then was like Pele?
Yeah, but that's quite normal, isn't it?
Yes. Played for Burnley as well. Burnley.
So did Ian Britton. So did Frank Sinclair.
Ian Britton scored the goal that's kept Burnley in the Football League.
Yeah, he did.
That's why
they love him so much there. Yeah,
they do, don't they?
I remember
when he died, they were very, you know, they did great big kind of memorial thing for him, didn't they?
Yeah. They did.
Yeah, lovely guy.
Are we not doing a Chelsea Brighton quiz today?
The what?
A Chelsea Brighton, like, you know.
No, because I thought instead of that, because basically I could only find three players who have played for Chelsea and Brighton, and they are Clive Walker, Chris Hutchings,
Teddy Maybank.
Oh, there's a fourth one.
Steve Sidwell.
Teddy Maybank.
Steve Sidwell.
Fifth one.
Izzy
Wayne
Brown.
Bridge. I forgot about Wayne Bridge.
Izzy Brown. Izzy Brown on loan.
Yeah. So that's six, or is that seven?
But seven.
Anyway, we're not doing that one. We've just done that one.
Perry Digweed.
Oh, I love that. That's such a great
eight.
Name.
Yeah. This is a good game, which is normally what we play, but I just thought, I liked what Bob Osgood had done on Twitter, and I thought, that's interesting.
I'll do that.
All right, so there you go. That's quiz. So, basically, they need to phone us up, 0208 70 2558, or tweet at Chelsea Fancast or at Love Sport Radio.
That's the way to do it. Plenty on the way this evening. Up next, we are going to be looking back at the game against Mol Vidi in the Europa League. Chelsea are through. It was a bit of a dead rubber.
Meh.
Chelsea went through the motions. We'll be talking about it next.
This is Love Sport. Love Sport, 558 AM.
Yep, Friday nights are for Love Sport Radio and for the Chelsea Fancast. Joining me and Paul this evening, Stanford Chidge, Jonathan Kidd and Clayton Beerman. Right, let's look back at the game yesterday. Mulvidy taking on Chelsea last night in a complete dead rubber.
It was
in the Europa League, but Chelsea making it a little bit difficult for themselves.
Well, they were going through the motions, I thought, mate. They really were.
Yeah, but Chidge, they ought not to be, because they're reserves, aren't they?
Well,
you're making an effort.
That was the odd thing, wasn't it? You would have thought that. I mean, but I mean, here's the thing. The only thing I think we got out of it was the fact that he did play quite a lot of the youngsters. I mean, Ampadu got a run out, Hudson-Odoi, Loftus-Cheek. Anybody else?
No.
No.
Okay. If we'd done okay, then he would have brought on McEachran, which would have been fantastic.
But I thought they did okay. You know,
or Mac
Ampadu did.
As they called
him.
McEachran.
Yeah. So I mean, I think these games are difficult. I mean, I know you expect perfection in everything.
You demand it
from me after all.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. You never come up to scratch.
Whereas that's because I'm a realist.
Yeah.
And we've had this argument for how many years have you been doing the Fancast?
27.
So we've been having that argument for 33 years.
Yeah.
So anyway, the bottom line is they're human and the pitch was rubbish. It was probably foggy and horrible and cold.
It was freezing,
you know,
-2.
And they probably couldn't be up for it.
No, and also after we scored the Giroud free kick, which was...
cracking, wasn't it?
Which is what Mark Worrell put, was sexy at free kicks. And I wrote back, we're as sexy as a carrot from corners. Because, I mean, do we have 11 corners?
Yeah, but
and we can't seem to do anything with them at all.
That is something for another day. But
yeah.
Corners, set pieces.
Other than the set piece in front of goal.
You got 10 different players... Never played as a team before. It's going to happen. And I think psychologically, if you're picked for that team, you think, I'm one of the dead men.
That's it.
And I think that must be quite difficult to get out.
Psychologically, I agree with you.
But I think CHO played very well. Showed his inexperience in his final decision-making, I thought. But I thought he had a really good game.
On the Cho point,
yes.
Because one of the things I thought, and we know he's got talent to burn, we know he's got pace to burn,
yes.
But he seems to be a bit worried about making a mistake at the moment, which is making him hesitant.
He also seems to be
better on the left-hand side,
which is where he played most of the time,
and he played him on the right.
Yeah.
And he just seemed to be a bit of a fish out of water.
Better when he went on the left.
Yeah, much better.
I thought it was quite interesting that he had two decent chances and he ended up passing it back to the keeper instead of putting his foot through it. I thought it was very funny when Ampadu led him and somebody else away.
What a leader that kid is.
He's fantastic. The one thing I just wanted to say is when Barkley and Loftus-Cheek play together, it's a bit of a William Pedro situation. I'm not sure whether they know what they're supposed to be doing. I don't know what the formation was last night.
I have to say, I thought that Barkley was headless chicken last night.
I actually think in the last 20 minutes, half an hour, I think he really picked it up. I mean, Loftus-Cheek.
Mind you, they were goaded.
I was going to say, Loftus-Cheek looked like a bit of a dog in a park. Every time he got the ball,
he sort of
basically got it, and his first touch was like 20 yards
and then ran after it.
I know.
And got it a lot of the time.
Well,
or not, as the case may be. But what I hated about it was that it was 2-2 and they didn't really want to then lose. They just did that business that the refs seemed to be incapable of dealing with.
He was a comedy ref.
Oh god, just falling over. He gives a foul
awful.
Every time they fall over and they waste time and they square up to people to change the pace of the game and they really got to get on this referee. This is becoming absurd. It is so obvious what the opposition is doing.
Yeah, but sometimes, and I'm playing devil's advocate, Giroud, for a man of that size and stature, he goes down so easily. I mean, it's just, he's always complaining, always flailing his arms about, he's fouled, get on with it.
Well, perhaps he's joining in with them. But then what I love about it is that the advantage, I watched it 2 hours later because I was taking my daughter somewhere, and... On Sky, you can just do a minute. You can do a minute each time on the Sky Q box. And for their substitutions, the substitutions took 2 minutes towards the end. And with all the other things going on, all the other substitutions, at the end he only gave 3 minutes. They seem to be incapable as well. 3 minutes.
I mean, to be honest, being somebody who sat there watching it,
I know it was 3 minutes too many. I know, but there was a lovely moment after we'd scored from the free kick from Giroud's fantastic free kick.
Why he scored, don't you?
Why did
Because basically I said, for God's sake, don't let Giroud take it.
That must have been it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But the second that he scored, we were then on top.
Yeah.
And we should have scored another goal easily.
Giroud
and
had a couple of
he
really
did. But what was fantastic was you could see them going, "Oops! The only way we're going to not lose this is to pretend that we're injured and waste time and kick the ball out and square up to all the Chelsea players over nothing." And it's just meaningless. I thought it was appalling. An appalling game. We played dreadfully, and I was really fed up with it. And I just think they lose their shape for me all the time. They
don't play
the way that he's supposed to get. They're supposed to play.
Well, that's my point about the formation last night. I didn't think there was a formation. I think he just slung 11 people out there to give them a go.
But they're all practicing that in training. They're all supposedly working it out. They should just be able to slot back in.
That 11 isn't. I know that the whole concept is that you take one out, you put one in.
Yeah, but they must. They must be tuned into that, surely.
You look very much like Terry Thomas tonight. Can
you reckon? I think I've come on here so often talking like that. I'm becoming him.
We just need to get you a gap.
I've got a bit of a gap.
Maybe
actually.
That's what it is.
Yeah,
absolute shot.
Stinker.
Absolute shot that you won't be seeing for a while is Alvaro Morata.
Well, you say that, but Simon Johnson in the paper tonight said that when he walked through the mix zone, he didn't through. He basically said to him, "Oh, is it a bad one?" And Morata didn't answer back, and he just carried on walking. And Simon Johnson surmised that it wasn't that bad an injury. He just didn't want to be there.
But it looked quite nasty because he got his studs stuck in the turf, and it looked like it could be a medial. I mean, not a ruptured one, but he could have you know torn it a bit. Which, of course, as I was being rather pithy a minute ago on Brian Moore's show, because there were rumours that we might off him. I don't mean like, you know, terminally, clearly, you know, loan him somewhere or maybe even sell him.
Render him off.
Yes, render him off.
Absolutely hysterical.
And then we can't do that if he's injured.
Barcelona.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah. But we can't do that if he's injured.
I mean, him touting himself out to Barcelona is quite...
It's hysterical.
It's he's telling himself.
Who's apparently,
that is the truth. He himself and his agent are like trying to, you know, just set up Barcelona. It's, you know, one of them old-fashioned, "Come and get me, please," that they used to put out in the papers. Yeah. You know, XYZ issues coming. Come and get me, please, too. Blah, blah, blah.
Who's the fullback who... they're one of their Barcelona fullbacks who always falls over all the time. Like
I've got quite
dead.
A few.
I know, it's quite difficult to sort of narrow it down by that description, isn't it? Anyway, he basically said, yes, we'd love him here. Really?
Really.
Do you know what the worst thing is? Barcelona have just sold Paco Alcácer. Alcácer. Do you notice how I said that?
Very good.
Alcácer. To Borussia Dortmund. Now, you're replacing 40 goals with about 6.
4.5.
Like, where, you know, it's time for it to get your best what is going on GIF out and plunk it straight onto the Barcelona page if they're going for
unless he's saying that he's not getting the service and the players aren't good enough.
Maybe if we get Dembele in a straight swap, I'd be happy with
that. Oh, yes, please. That goal against Spurs. Whoa, what pace.
I've not seen it, but
he rinsed
Spurs.
Them. You know, it was a super... I sat there thinking, because I don't take any interest in any other football other than Chelsea, as we all legendarily know. So when people say, who should we sign from Europe then, Chidge? I say, I have no idea. But I saw that kid and I thought, I wouldn't half like him in the side.
Well,
but
he scored against us, didn't he?
This is where I feel it's quite important to bring up the point. Do you need to go and actively seek someone
well,
out
I think
in
if
January?
If that's my point. If you know, it's weird, isn't it? Because if he wasn't injured, we might off him. But then again, we might not. If he is injured, then it's like 8 weeks, which it could be. Although I think you're right, Clayton, it doesn't sound that serious. Then, you know, there's an argument for saying we need some backup. Because you cannot operate with just Giroud and possibly Hazard as the false nine.
Who can't play 2 games a week.
No, you can't play 2 weeks games in a week, exactly.
Mm. Well, perhaps you bring Abraham back, even though he's not the
Well, that's a possibility, but...
Just as an alt.
I mean, but he'll get games.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the interesting thing and something that we in our grouchiness haven't really picked up, I think, which is that the kids are getting a chance this year, largely because of the Europa Cup and the demands that that puts on the squad. So, you know, Callum Hudson-Odoi, who I think we all agreed with Jody Morris beginning of the season that he's a bit young, he's probably not ready yet, but he's getting a chance. That wouldn't have happened a year or two ago, I don't think. Mm.
No, well, we wouldn't have been in the Europa League.
That's a good point, actually. I concede that. But there's been such a resistance to playing the youngsters. I mean, this is why it's taken Loftus-Cheek so long to make any sort of breakthrough.
In a sense, the negativity of not getting into the Champions League has allowed this to occur.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the biggest plus point going for Abraham is the fact that your options are restricted in Europe because you have to buy someone who's not played in European competition.
That's right.
So you can't go out and pluck someone out of...
Can't get anybody good.
Basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically.
So
Abraham wouldn't be a bad
return. Yeah.
Jermaine Defoe on loan.
Well, he's been touted out today that he's, you know, he could be going to Crystal Palace or Nottingham Forest. Roy Hodgson said no.
I think he's
a vegan
what
too.
What can you lose?
Is he really?
He is.
Is that a plus or a minus?
Well, yeah, of course it is. I'm bound to say so.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why he's so fit.
Plus
like me.
For Chelsea. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, seriously,
he won't be in your lounge.
Fox in the box.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard. I mean, put it this way: we God, Pato, God.
Pato.
Sorry, this is all flashing back to me. We had him. He was fatter than me, and we had Falco, who had less legs than me. I mean,
bless him.
So if we could do that,
he scored a good goal. One good goal.
If we could do that, then why can't we have Defoe? You know, I mean, he could do a job.
If you offered, you know, West Ham a tuppence for Andy Carroll, they'd take that.
No, I don't want him. Blooming donkey he is.
No, he's just going to get injured. I mean, any side would have him in their squad if he guaranteed you 30 games.
Robbie Keane available.
No, he's
because I heard that Chelsea were his boyhood club.
Apparently so. No.
Callum Wilson.
Zlatan on loan.
He's injured.
Yeah,
at the moment.
No.
Zlatan Ibrahimovic on loan.
Won't be by January. I know he won't go.
No, I know.
One can hope though.
Zlatan. Hang on, there are four different conversations.
So, do you know what this is? This is us just pitching to Chelsea's chief scout, just throwing names at him.
Zlatan.
Ian Ormondroyd.
Oh, I liked him.
Marvellous.
Yeah.
I remember him.
Blackpool.
Yeah.
Gary Taylor Fletcher. Yeah. Charlie Austin.
What was that chap? Rideout. What was his name?
Rideout.
Paul Rideout. Scored in the 95 Cup Final.
He did.
Hamilton Ricard.
I remember him.
Do you remember him?
Yeah, I do.
He
had a massive face.
He did.
He had a really big face.
Ravanelli.
It was his 50th birthday this year.
He was a silver fox in the box.
He was. Yeah. And it was his 50th birthday this year, which makes me think that, you know, it was such a long time ago he was playing for Derby, like 2001.
And Borough.
He played for Borough. Borough.
Cup final.
Played for Borough in the 97 Cup Final.
What a player, Fabrizio Ravanelli.
Fell over a lot.
He did.
Yeah.
He did.
Played for Juve with Viali.
And appealed. Viali was a great player.
Oh, I love him.
I watched him on Premier League Years this year, and the sheer pace at which there was no pace. Mm. There was no pace from Viali. I mean, how he managed to jink past that Derby defender and just, like, fly past. It was when they were building the, I think, they weren't building the Matthew.
Behind the goal. Yeah. No, it wasn't.
Matthew Arling. And the West Stand.
North Stand.
You're saying the Derby player was distracted
West
by a crane.
I think it was. You know, Spencer Pryor or something like that, just looking, just going,
yeah,
oh,
just
look.
Oh, that looks nice.
Anyway.
I like a bit of architecture.
Yeah, it's lovely that. We're going to carry on talking about Vinny versus Chelsea. Obviously, there have been some negative stories in the press. So we're going to be talking about them. We're not going to, you know, sit and actively debate them, but I want everyone to have their opinion and have their say. Of course, it has to be done.
Boyle needs to be lanced.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah.
Lance Boyle, West Indian fast bowler.
wasn't he the cheating cyclist? That was Armstrong, wasn't it?
0208 7025.
Warrington. What was his name? Warrington.
Oh, that was it. That last night they were advertising a fight on.
Oh, yeah. Frampton Warrington.
Yeah.
Yeah, Warrington, but
ex West Indian fast bowler.
Yeah.
Slots for radio with the Chelsea Fancast.
Giving your team the coverage they deserve. Love Sport Radio.
Just having a quick debate as to who scored the first ever Premier League goal.
Teddy Sheringham.
It wasn't.
It was
Brian Deane who scored the first goal in the FA Premier League for Sheffield United against Manchester United.
No, I think Sheringham was the first goal that was scored on Sky.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Television.
Anyway, this is Love Sport Radio with the Chelsea fan cast chaps. Let's talk about the incidents that supposedly happened yesterday out in Hungary. Chelsea taking on Mulvidy, of course. Social media blowing up as there was talks of, you know, anti-Semitic chanting coming from the Chelsea fans. I mean, you guys have all had sort of 12 hours or so to sort of stew on it. Or not 12 hours, a day to stew on it. 24. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts?
It was quite odd. I mean, I was watching the game at home on telly, as I think these boys were as well. And there was a tweet from a couple of journalists saying that they'd heard racist chanting, by which they meant anti-Semitic chanting, which is a point I want to get back to in a minute. But and there were a lot of people who got hold of that, who were there, who were saying, well, they hadn't heard anything.
Yeah.
And then I checked, you know.
They're still going on about that.
Yeah. All right. But there's some good people who we know well and trust who were saying that. Anyway, I checked again after the match because obviously with the trust hat on, I need to know about this stuff. And I've had enough validation by other people that I know and trust who said that they heard it. So I think what probably happened and what I established was that it's all built around the Who's That Team song,
yeah.
Which, in fairness, is sung every week. But of course, as we all know, for at least, I'd say, I don't know, Clayton, 4 or 5 years, the end line, which is the one with the offensive, the Y word in it, has fizzled out for most people. But of course, as sadly, there will always be people who will sing that. And I think that's the root of what's caused the offence and why Chelsea issued a statement. But I can understand why some people heard it and why some people didn't. Because if it's only a pocket of people,
yeah,
you're only going to hear them if you're near them. If you're on the other side of the you know, the stand, you're not going to hear them. But of course, it's led to almighty ruckuses all day.
Since the City game, of course, everybody's ears are open.
Do you not think that those people, because it was, we all know what the song was, we all know what the word was, and all the rest of it. It's sung all the time.
Yeah,
and it's not incessant, but it is sung all the time. And that song's just been at Chelsea as long as I know, and it's been embellished over the years. And we all know why it's been embellished, and why, you know, what. So people in the ground who heard this whole media surge of there's been an anti-Semitic incident.
It was described as racist.
It was a racist song because you hear that all the time. You don't think it is.
You tune out.
You probably heard it. I mean, we know, very good friend of this show, and she tweeted, I'm there, I don't know what anybody's talking about. And a lot of people did that. And it's because it happened in the first couple of minutes. Mm. It wasn't very many people. And it's just like, well there isn't anything racist.
Why did they feel that they needed to sing an anti-Tottenham song? In the same way
they're still singing about Gerrard, in the same way they're still, you know, it really gets my goat. I mean, leave the Gerrard thing to one side. You've got 11 guys out there playing for Chelsea, and people are singing about Zola. Okay, Zola's on the bench now. People are singing about Frank Lampard and John Terry. They're not there. They can't hear you.
And there aren't songs for the current players.
Support the bloody players. Oh, excuse me. Support the players on the pitch.
Completely.
I mean, it is bonkers. We know the enmity between us and Spurs. And
it's a bit small time, isn't it?
Focusing on them, I think. It goes both ways. Yeah. But the point is, it's there, and it's unfortunate, and the connotations are what they are.
But the other thing about that, there are grey areas within this, but before we get into that, I think all of us here absolutely heartily condemn any anti-Semitic chanting and racist behaviour. Of course we do. But there are a lot of people, I think, and I mean, this was aired today by the likes of Andy Jacobs and Ivor Badiel, you know, both Jewish.
David Badiel as well,
I didn't hear him.
David Badiel's made a film.
Don't use the Y word.
Yeah.
But they were saying that they generally think that a lot of Chelsea supporters don't even think that it's anti-Semitic.
They don't even know.
Yeah, exactly. And they use it really as a pejorative way to describe Spurs, who of course use it themselves. But the reality is that, you know, racism, anti-Semitism is racism. You know, you use that and it is a racist epithet. And you can't do it. And the club, for ages now, it seems to me, have been trying to eradicate that from the ground. We know that Roman Abramovich he hates it. He doesn't want to hear it. And that's why they're trying to get it out. So, you know,
one of the reasons he doesn't want to hear it is because he's Jewish.
Well, exactly.
I know, but
and half the board are.
Yeah, but lots of people on Twitter don't even know. Lots of fans don't know he's Jewish.
Well, I can't believe that.
Well, but if they don't know he's Jewish, then that is irrelevant,
but it
goes to the heart of the matter that they don't understand. Now, but what about, you know? But they do it. They say it.
So what?
It's not an argument.
What about it?
The simple thing here is the club has asked on several occasions, please don't say that word, and people are ignoring it. And you can't deal with that. You cannot deal. I know there's the whole thing we were talking pre-show about people don't like to be told what they can and they can't do.
There is a bit of that, I think.
And there is a bit of that, and it's a bit of rebellion. I'm 100% sure, well, 100%, that's a bit excessive. I'm sure that there are a lot of people who say that word who don't, are not being anti-Semitic.
Yeah, I agree.
They say they are being anti-Tottenham.
Mm.
But these people have been told time and time again, don't say it. And they're being asked. Roman Abramovich, in his 15, 16 years of owning the club, has said nothing to us. He has put one column in the programme in 16 years, and it was about anti-Semitism. I don't know what you can do. But, and I guarantee you, on Sunday, the Y will be sung.
It will be sung, of course it will. And the press will be all over it. But what will happen is, I think the Premier League and the FA will wade in, and there will be huge fines, and part of the ground will be closed.
They can't do it, because they'll basically say, Spurs are doing it. Spurs are singing that. You can't. What are you going to do? You're going to ban them and close their ground as well.
Well, that's a very interesting point. But
this is the lead. That's the legal. Clayton works in the law.
Yeah, no, indeed. Aren't UEFA trying to do this at the moment?
Then good luck. But it's technically a hate crime, which is prosecutable by the police. But of course, I know this, being on the trust, that Tottenham have a dispensation which allows them to use the Y word in the ground, and they will not be kicked out, and they will not be arrested, and they will not be prosecuted. So if the police tried to prosecute any of us lot doing it, any good lawyer will get it thrown out of court, because there's a precedent.
Yeah. But didn't Spurs embrace the word?
They took the power back, exactly.
Because of the amount of abuse, and it was viler. I remember
it was
being kettled coming out of White Hart Lane station with a group of Chelsea fans who saluted, sang the song about the ovens.
Yeah, all of that.
Yeah. And I actually said to the policeman at the end, do you think I could not be in this group, because I'm actually nothing to do with this?
Because I'm an actor.
No, because I'm far...
Don't you know who I am?
I'm far posher than anybody here in this group. And the policeman said, you shut up or I'm nicking you.
Yeah.
And that was the attitude all the time. If you ever said anything against...
That was only last week, Jonathan.
It was on Tuesday. But this was 20 years ago.
Yeah, long time ago, exactly. And I think I hate for us to sound like we're not taking it seriously and we're mitigating, because I can assure you we're not. But there are grey areas in this. There really, really are. But the reality is, and I know I've heard a lot of people saying, well, you know, we don't find it offensive. This person doesn't find it offensive. It wasn't. The bottom line is, if one person finds it offensive, that's one too many.
And if that one person owns the club and has spent $2 billion on the club.
Exactly.
You know, how much longer is he going to tolerate?
Well, I do fear that if we don't get this sorted out, he may go. I mean, you could throw that back at me and say, well, he might go anyway, which is true. But wouldn't that be awful if he went because of this?
Silence.
Yeah. It'll be horrendous.
Yeah.
Absolutely horrendous.
Totally unnecessary. It's one song. You know, I mean, for example, when the Maratta chant came out last year, which used the Y word in that context, and there was a real furore about that, again, rightly so.
There was a kind of self-regulation about that,
actually. Yeah, but the song changed.
It did.
They changed the lyrics the next week. So why can't we just not sing this blooming song anymore? It's only a song. We've got so many other songs to sing. Why can't we just not?
And yet there appears to be an enormous amount of anger still within people, as was shown by the front row in the Man City
too game. Much anger and hate in football, actually, mate. I'm beginning to think I really am. It's getting a bit mental,
you know. The bloke in glasses who unfortunately got his house publicised and his name and everything, the look on his face, you just thought, what is going
contorted,
on here?
Wasn't it?
If a player comes towards me, I want to take a photo of him. I don't. Sorry,
yeah,
I don't.
But that's
go.
Only because you want to blackmail them. To be fair, you know.
Don't use that word.
That's good.
Let's take a pause. We'd love to hear from you this week on what has undoubtedly been a tough week off the field for Chelsea. We're going to look back at what was a brilliant win. Unfortunately, marred by the instance that went off the pitch, but you know, you've got to hand it to Maurizio Sarri. After a strange first half, Chelsea really turned it on in the second. We're going to be looking back at that game.
Rescued
against
his reputation.
There you go. We'd love to hear from you this evening. Now, kiddo, what's the phone number?
Oh, God. I shouldn't say that word either. Sorry. 0208 7020 558.
There you have it.
558 AM. Love Sport. So here is Merry Christmas. Everybody's having fun. Look to the future now. It's only just begun. Are you waiting for the family to arrive? Are you sure you've got the room to spare inside? Does your granny always tell you?
Love a bit of Christmas music. Do you like this song?
Thanks. Mate, I was alive when it was released. Unlike you.
I bought it.
You bought
Did
it?
You?
I'm playing on it.
Actually, it's Jonathan doing the vocal.
There you go. Very good. Very good. Let's talk to Mark in Cincinnati, Ohio. How are you, Mark?
I'm doing well, gentlemen. How are you guys doing today?
Yeah.
Great to hear from you,
good,
Mark.
Mate.
Yeah, we're good. Good to hear from you, pal.
What have you got to say?
Yeah, so it's been somewhat of a tough week for Chelsea off the pitch, obviously. I mean, I'm not really sure what more I can add other than I think it's horrible. You know, obviously, I'm an American, so we've dealt with certain things like that. And although a lot of those things were in the past, we generally don't have a lot of those things surface. There's a lot of fights in the stands and whatnot, but you really don't hear about like banana peels and stuff being thrown.
Is that at baseball or at NFL?
MLS.
What's that?
Fights.
Mark, where did you see where are the fights?
Oh, NFL. Oh, a lot right. of times there I've seen things said and heard in stadiums that can break out into fights. A lot of times they just don't get reported a lot of times, to be honest with you, but it's obviously something sad and needs to be eradicated from football, but unfortunately you're always going to have a segment of people. You know, I've had people say like, "Oh, why are you a Chelsea fan? They're racist." It's like I have no idea about that. I mean, that'd be like why I'm
not. The response is, Mark, I'm not.
No.
That's the only exactly. response, isn't it? But I know how you feel, and
exactly.
this is the thing. We all get tarred with that brush, and I mean, I felt quite depressed and shamed and embarrassed all week by all of this. It's not a good feeling. I'll be honest with you. So I understand what you mean.
Yes, it's very unfortunate. But, you know, on a lighter note, that City game was amazing.
Yes.
That was a wonderful. A lot of people were down, but I was extremely happy. I mean, I live for those 90 minutes every week. So no matter what happens, I'm excited to be able to watch our lads play.
That was one of the great goals, wasn't it, Mark? The opening goal.
Yeah, it was. Kante's it was very goal. Unexpected.
Absolutely. But the technical requirements to score that were just absolutely brilliant.
The ball from Hazard
magnificent.
When he did that, I thought, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Excuse me, hello? I'm just putting my hand up here. What about the ball from Louise, out from the back?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, very un-Sarri football. You know, boom, one pass up to the right, another pass, Williams run down the left. He ran like a train to catch up with that.
Yeah.
That was a... I mean, here's the thing, Mark. I mean, we, as you know, we didn't get a chance to do this on Monday, which really annoys me. But for me, there was a real sense of, Chelsea kind of circa 2012 about that performance. They defended quite deep. They drew City on and they counter-attacked like a rapier. It was great.
There was a very
heroic in their defending.
Fantastic
as well.
Analysis of that goal, in fact, but saying that the passes that they made before Luiz played that 50-yard brilliant ball had actually suckered City.
Rope
it had
dope,
sucked
mate.
Them in, yeah.
Rope
and dope. they were all milling round the ball, and then suddenly there it was. And then it was open, and it wasn't a kind of, you know, hoof. It was just pinpoint across to William. William controls it, centres, headed out. Alonso plays it out to Hazard. And Hazard was sublime in that moment. Two steps and that lovely cross. And then, oh, God. Mm. Yeah, one of the great goals, Mark.
But it was also one of the great defensive performances, because in the first half, for 44 minutes, we didn't actually get the ball.
No, we didn't have a shot.
We defended heroically.
Yeah.
But by the same token, Manchester City only had one shot.
It's true.
Which was Sterling's weak little effort, which was easily
Which he should have scored from, really.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, Mark, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you,
Mark,
for joining us. We've got another caller on the line. Shane is joining us from North America. How are you, Shane?
Oh, I'm in already. How are we doing?
Good, mate. How are you?
Hey, good to hear from you. I missed you on Monday. So how's it going?
Yeah, good. I'm really sorry about that, mate. I mean, we were talking about it a minute ago, but my internet. I came back from London at the weekend to find that my internet at home in Hampshire was dead. Indeed. So, and there's nothing I could do. I was so gutted. Of all the blimmin' Mondays for it to not be working, it happened to be, you know, I think, I mean, here's the thing, actually, Shane. I think that's the, I mean, I'm sure, you know, this is obvious, but for me, that's absolutely the best performance that they've put in since Sarri took over as manager. Would you agree with that?
Oh, my God, yeah, absolutely. I think for me, I've been like, waiting to see if I was willing to be patient with him or not, or, you know, just start looking at the next manager with a merry-go-round. But I think for that performance, it showed how flexible he was. I don't know if you guys think that.
Well, I think you're spot on, Shane, because after the Wolves game, everybody was howling the fact that there was no plan B and that nothing changed, etc. And then all of a sudden, we get a performance which was, what, 3 days later, four days later, which absolutely smacked of a plan B. It was a fantastic performance. And there was Sarri ball in parts of it. But
it was a Sarri ballish,
and the second half
really
was fantastic. I mean, I know that we were under the cosh for about 10-15 minutes, but every time we got the ball, we surged forward, and the much maligned Kante, who was supposedly can't play in that position, was absolutely outstanding.
But he was much closer to Jorginho.
Yeah, well,
he kind of did what we were asking for, which is he needs to mind him a bit. Do you agree with that, Shane?
Yeah, I think for me, the one thing is I still have in my mind that game that we played under Antonio Conte against Manchester City, and that game has always bothered me since that happened. And
was that the game where each of the players were holding white flags?
No, he means three.
Yeah.
Oh, right, you mean that one, so, yeah?
Yeah.
All right, okay.
So the difference is like, no matter what the coach says, it was weird that the players sort of just, you know, gave into it, whereas it's just Sarri wanted us to press Man City. We pressed. They broke the press. They got through our lines. But then somehow the team still sort of bunkered down, and I wasn't sure if that was a Sarri thing or just a Chelsea thing, but I was just really happy to see it.
I'm intrigued by that, Shane, because, I mean, the one thing that Sarri's been moaning about recently, and absolutely rightly so, is the poor mentality that they show in the games, Clayton. And they, I mean, as I said, that it reminded me of kind of circa 2012, the commitment, the heroic defending.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that came out of that game and shone out of that game, and I've said this before on here and on the Fancast, is David Luiz is a big match player.
Yeah, definitely.
And there is absolutely no doubt about that. And sometimes when he makes rickets, I think it's because he's bored. Yeah. You know, and you look at Cesar Azpilicueta, who's had a bit of a torrid time this season.
He picked his game up.
He was outstanding.
Absolutely outstanding.
And of course, we were talking about the atmosphere against Fulham being awful. The atmosphere was brilliant.
Yeah. Brilliant, like a cup final.
Yeah. And it was quite interesting because I think Jorginho had less touches in this game than any other game so far this season. So it just, a lot of players were on top of their game, and I think if Sarri ball is to work, or the way that Sarri wants to play, each of those players has got to be on the top of their game, and that hasn't always been the way this season.
It's the intensity for me.
That's right.
That's what it was. I mean, Shane, I mean, you know, any other thoughts about the game?
No, I just wanted to say I was also, aside from, I think the fans were super happy about it, I think that was big for Sarri too, because he's never beaten Pep, and I think that was bothering him. And now that he changed to the false nine, he changed the front three, whatever, maybe plan B, or maybe that was just a team, I think that like gave him confidence that, you know, he can win things too, you know. So I thought that was great.
That's a good point. That's a really good point.
Brilliant stuff. Shane, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Do call us again. There is football in the Championship this evening. West Bromwich Albion are on TV again. It's like every week, isn't it? They are...
just to annoy us because it's on a Friday.
I mean, you wouldn't want to support them or Leeds because, you know, we complain about little 3 o'clocks. These guys never play on a Saturday. They're just Monday, Friday night. Thursday morning.
Well, the football comes from Bramall Lane tonight. Sheffield United taking on West Bromwich Albion this evening. 0-0 with 3.5 minutes gone on the clock. We're going to take a short pause. On the way back, we are going to be talking about that game against Man City from the Bridge.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
Clayton, ever since you've been banned, just been damn facetious in the studio.
You tell him,
talking about Jose like that.
Would I have him back tomorrow?
I'd be amazed if that was true, but...
Well, I love him.
Yeah. and you want him back tomorrow. Oh, maybe you do.
Come closer to the mic. Don't be shy.
What? Are we on air?
Yeah.
Yeah, we are. Anyway, David McGoldrick has just scored for Sheffield United. Sheffield United 1, West Bromwich Albion 0 was a later score from Bramall Lane. Up next on the Chelsea Fancast, we're going to go in depth on the Man City game. Plus, we're going to begin our preview to the game against Brighton down at good old Sussex by the Sea.
Chidge.
JK. In all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Chidge, I'd be bereft. Inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live. It's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep, NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow, great. But yeah, I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK, and best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy. I could cry. Where do I sign up, Ginge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/Chelsea Fancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box. Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The pensioners are back, but with no walking sticks in sight. They're carefree, wherever they may be. They're the famous CFC. Blue is their colour, and football is their game. If you come to Stamford Bridge, you'll remember their name. It's the Chelsea Fancast on Love Sport.
Good evening with your Chelsea fan show.
I've got a tweet to read out.
Thank you for...
But when you're ready, don't want to interrupt or anything.
I was just
going
to say,
I'm not ready, I'm listening to myself singing on this.
That's Jonathan Kidd. Superstar.
Good. Oh, get, but we're at that bit, are we? Blind
on. And down the middle, we got Clear Tambourine.
Good evening.
So long and we'll wait.
On the right-hand flank, Stamford Chidge.
Our blood is blue and we will
Paddy's on the,
you never.
Paddy's on the dials.
Look, Jonathan, you don't get more royalties if you sing it, you know, every week. You don't.
Give it up.
Give it up.
10p a time?
No, mate. Not even 1p.
Give me a quid.
It was a bulk deal, mate. Trust me.
Get a tuppence a time.
All right.
tuppence a bag.
Listen, I have got
You're it's the cast of Oliver. Hello.
You two are insufferable. In fact, I would go so far to say you're an absolute
shut. Please, sir, can I have some more?
No, you can't. Right, we've got a tweet from Dean Mears here, who tweeted Love Sport and us. And he says, can't call in tonight, but interested to know what the Chelsea fancast think of Sarri's mind games. Said he didn't know how to beat Pep, and during the game, Pep didn't know how to respond to Sarri's tactics. Expected to turn up and win. Great show, guys. Dino, lovely to hear from you, mate. And I've put your two blogs up on the website today. I hope you noticed.
Dino.
So what do you think of
Dino.
That? Sarri's mind. He's got a point there, I think.
It was quite interesting to see Pep, who basically seemed to be a little bit lost at the end of that game, didn't he?
He was, wasn't he, actually? That was interesting.
I think he slightly stymied himself by playing Sterling as the false nine. I hate that because they're just playing up front, really. And they did miss Aguero, because I think Aguero would be a completely different handful.
Well, Aguero would have scored that chance at Sterling.
Sterling
had.
Missed, yeah. He'd have rifled it firmly into the roof
but,
of the net.
Yeah, Aguero missing was key, absolutely key.
Yeah.
But I think he didn't start with a proper number nine, because I don't think Jesus is in good form, and I was actually dying to call the show Jesus Can't Help You Now.
Oh, you're so clever.
I know,
Chich.
But we lost the opportunity.
Know, but yeah, we
because apparently he's a bit pony at the moment.
All this energy that we lost on the Monday.
I'm so gutted.
Oh, me too. So I had to go and run around the block.
Yeah. Did you know, I thought it was quite interesting that they, City, towards the end of the game, looked really leggy. I mean,
I'll agree with that.
The first half, we just couldn't do anything at all. I mean, principally because we didn't have a target man to hoof the ball at, and because they were brilliant. And I think if you love football, you've got to love watching them playing. They're absolutely
they were phenomenal.
It's agony when it's your team that's playing them. Yeah. But they are.
We just couldn't get near
side.
Them, could we? And yet we covered really well. That was part of it.
Which made the second half so extraordinary. Yeah, yeah. The fact that we just fought back against them, and I thought
we dominated the second half completely.
We did, but there was a 10-minute period where they had one corner after the other, but Luiz was the human shield. Yeah, I mean, everything went near him and all the rest of it.
Luiz had a completely phenomenal game. He was
Kepa made a couple of great saves.
Really good too. I mean, I think they all stepped up to the plate. Listen,
superb.
I got a question for both of you, actually, which has been on my mind since last Monday. You're always on my mind, Clayton. You know that. I just kind of came away with two things. Given where we were, we'd had that horrible defeat to Spurs. We hadn't looked too good against Everton. We're not that convincing against Fulham. And, you know, that was a terrible, terrible, just, you know, they just chucked it in, I thought, against Wolves. So given all of that went before, I just left thinking, good grief, that's a massive statement as a team to, against all odds, nobody, I mean, not even we expected to win, if the truth were to be told.
Nobody did.
No, exactly. But that wasn't a fluky win. We beat them fair and square. And I thought, that's a massive statement for the team to beat the title favourites and the current champions.
And for the manager.
That's where I was going.
Okay.
But I wonder if it was all getting a bit nasty.
Yeah, yeah.
And there are people thinking, he'll be gone by March. He's no better than Scolari.
Yeah.
So I just wonder how much of a massive statement that was for him, particularly because of the way he turned it round. And actually, we found out he has tactics, which we didn't know before.
I think it saved his season, actually.
You could be right, mate.
But also, the annoying thing is it's now a benchmark and they have to beat Brighton.
Indeed.
But I think it may save him, even if they
don't
go on a
great... He's got more credit in the bank,
hasn't he? Yeah, because it clearly works, and it may be that he can't get them to be the great team that he wants them to be, and he may have to purchase a few others. But his big thing is just to making them all into proper players. Just say this for a second. I was very disappointed about Napoli during the week, and I watched them all the way through, because they were terrible against Liverpool, and it worried me. And I thought, hang on a second, this Napoli is supposed to be this great side. Of course, we'll draw them in the Europa League. It's inevitable, isn't it? But they're more Celtic. But if that was supposed to be how they're supposed to play Napoli, it was very disappointing. Ancelotti's being a little bit more pragmatic and not playing the way that Sarri would. But their exit means that there is a possibility we could cherry pick a few players if necessary. Because Mertens, although 31, I'd love to see him playing through the middle.
That's popped up, hasn't it?
Yeah.
But their owner you know.
I know, it's so difficult
to do business with. Yeah, I mean, what was it that Spurs have... No, it was Man U won to buy Koulibaly, and they're talking about 90 million, aren't they?
It's a joker, mate.
I'll tell you one player that I do very well at Chelsea is Insigne. Lorenzo Insigne, he's class. You wouldn't know.
Oh, I do, I've heard of him.
Yeah, but you never ever watch anything.
You said you never watch anything. You
don't. No, I don't, but I've heard of him.
Heard
of him. I can read, you know. I can read.
Yeah.
You're like, man, what? I learned the English. I learned it from a book.
From a website.
I was just about to say, can Sarri be judged fully until he's had a proper transfer window, like where he's been able to do the full assessment and put the scaffolding up?
Yeah, but it's not only transfers. It's the fact that he had a full squad 4 weeks before the start of the season. So he hasn't even had a pre-season. He is doing everything on the hoof, as they say.
Is he playing for us again?
Yes, Hoof. Right. Robert Hoof. which makes it the impatience and to be honest with you, the last half hour against Wolves was very, very worrying.
Yeah.
But I said it before and I'm going to keep saying it, we are a team that are playing without a forward.
Yeah.
And you can't do anything unless you've got if you've got any pretensions to be any sort of top four, top six club, you got to have a striker that scores 20 goals a season.
That Wolves game would never have been a problem also if Hazard had been firing. He had four shots in the first 7 minutes, all of which he should have scored from.
Well, you had the Willian chance at the end of the first half, the Morata chance / penalty. You know, Drogba, Costa up front.
They'd have taken the player, the ball would have gone in the
defender,
net.
And the defender, the goalkeeper, everything would have been in the net.
Yeah, referee.
But Morata, he's not looking for it. He's scared. He's scared of the ball. He doesn't want the ball.
One thing I want to say is there's, having watched Premier League years on repeat every day for the past 2 weeks, there was a couple of games where Didier Drogba was adjudged to have utilised his hands. I don't know if you remember them.
One of them was Manchester City.
Man City.
2-0, he admitted it after the game.
Yeah, one of them was Fulham. And Mourinho, after the game, said that the decision was correct.
Yeah.
But they'd referee, only done it because the referee had only done it because
he hadn't seen it. It was a crowd. Yeah. We lost 1-0 at Fulham, and basically he scored a goal. He ran in from about 30 yards out, didn't he? And then they disallowed it for handball, even though the referee and the linesman hadn't seen it.
Exactly that. What my sort of point is that it just shows Drogba was like, it was a case of by hook or by crook, I'm going to force it. Yeah. I don't care what I do. Mm-hmm. I am getting it in there, and that's not what you're seeing from Alvaro Morata. Unfortunately, you want someone. You always felt
a fighter, Drogba
played with his heart on his sleeve. You know,
he looks as if he's worried about breaking a nail.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah. He's got to go, man. He's not good enough.
He has got to go. We're going to take a short pause for some light refreshment. Do join us on the other side.
5:58 a.m. Love Sport. This is Love Sport.
It's true, Jonathan Kidd does just like, you know, to this song. Come on, everybody. Let's all have a
sing
dance.
Sing along, everybody.
It's shaky. Who wants a tambourine?
I've got a block of wood here with a stick.
As long as you're not touching it, mate.
Did you? Was everyone in the nativity play at school?
I was in percussion band.
He did all characters. I directed it, obviously.
Yeah. I played the donkey.
Yeah. which
very well. Too well.
Is that a euphemism, Clay?
I still am.
The front or the back end?
Enough. Right.
That was a straight to VHS edition.
I wanted to say, before we kind of ran out of time, didn't we, Aaron, in the previous part, but... I mean, Jonathan and I did this absolutely loopy telephone call with James and Afro Buzz, whatever his name is, and Chris Dealey, didn't we, right after the game?
Yeah, yeah.
And we were just like, we were so pumped. It was hilarious. Phenomenal. They couldn't get us off the line. Yeah. But I just wanted to say, you know, that it was Jonathan mentioned the atmosphere earlier on, and he was right. The atmosphere was as good against City as it was poor against Fulham.
Yeah.
Absolutely vindicating what we said, which is we just don't care about Fulham.
No.
But we did care about that match, and it was electric and loud all the way through. But the feeling that I came away with from the game is that is why I go to football. That games like that is what it's all about, because you have to suffer the lows to enjoy the highs. And it just reminded me that's why I go for days like that. And the feeling that I had when I left the ground, I was like 10 foot tall, everybody around me was happy. It's brilliant to see. That's why we go for games like that. But you can't have games like that unless you have to put up with a lot of dross as well, because that's life, baby.
No, I was going to say, it's a brilliant point. And I don't know of any Chelsea fan I spoke to social media who actually wanted to go.
Yeah.
Because we just thought, after the Wednesday, we all thought we were going to get an absolute spanking.
Here we said 2-0, didn't we?
But 3-0. We still went, because even if you think your club's going to lose, you still, there's a little bit of hope at the back thinking, maybe.
But that's what made it all the more joyous.
Did you not think, going to the atmosphere, you know, you're talking about the fact that we were on the back foot and defended so heroically, the crowd got more and more into it and gave us more and more support, which goes back to the, should they do something for us to support, or should it be the other way around?
Well, it was perfect drama, wasn't it? Because it just escalated. And then we got better, we scored the goal, then we got better, and then we scored the second goal. I cried.
But the noise.
No, about it. When Luis scored, I blubbed.
Wow.
Because the amount of emotion involved with having, it makes you realise that you sort of go, oh, well, they're not playing very well. Oh, well, he might have never. And you don't win the league, isn't he?
But he didn't have a good game, did he?
No. Well, do you know what? I thought he wasn't bad. I think Oliver's the best referee that we've got, actually. So I thought he did okay. But the noise when Luiz's goal went in, the roof nearly came off.
Phenomenal.
I mean, that's what it's about. Because we knew then that was the game.
Yeah.
Because right up until then, I just thought, oh, they're going to score. They're going to score. And boom, that ended the game. And
interesting, noticeably, they went, didn't they?
They deflated.
That was good for radio.
Well, they knew it was game over.
What Clayton did was, when he did that, as he deflated down and went. Ugh.
But you could tell their body language just left them. They just.
Well, it was game over. They knew it.
I still thought they'd win 3-2, mind you.
Yeah, well, indeed. We've got Brighton on Sunday. Should we talk a bit about that?
Good old Sussex by the Sea.
We have got time.
We've
got a little bit of time in this part.
We've got a couple of minutes.
All right,
is the competition going to take about 20 minutes then?
Yeah. No. Wow. There's less. Like, we've got. Oh, okay. They've got a little bit about Brighton,
right?
And then we've got the opposition view.
Opposition at half past eight,
and then we've got the final bits where we could talk more about Brighton,
right?
And we could talk about some of our memories of going to Brighton.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. Well, the one that Clayton and I were talking about. Quick tease: the 1983 match,
the Goldstone Ground.
Yeah. And then I will reveal the quiz. And then we will reveal our predictions as to what will happen. But Brighton is interesting. Do you know what? I had no idea about this. We've only ever played them 8 times. Did you know that?
And that was all one afternoon.
No, seriously. But we've drawn one of those and lost one of them. And we have won our last 6 meetings. But weirdly, the first 4 times we played them, they're all in the FA Cup, including twice on our run into the 1967... final, of course, which you were at, weren't you?
I was.
1967.
I thought you were. You're not.
I watched it on a black and white telly and cried.
Hmm.
Did you?
I did.
I was very disconsolate.
Anyway,
interestingly, can I just tell you something about the game on the 13th of January 1973 between Brighton, Hove Albion and Chelsea, which we won 2-0?
Yes.
Ron Harris got sent off.
Did he?
And we wore that lovely red, white and green kit.
Right.
I've got the scarf still. I've still got the scarf for that.
I like that.
I wore it the other day and somebody said, who are you supporting?
It's the Ford Mexico kit. It's not the Hungary, although I think it looks like the Hungary kit. But anyway, Brighton, you know, they're 13th. They've won 6, drawn 3, and they've lost 7. But they're kind of very mid-table, I think. They really are.
But they can turn it on, though, at the Amex, though.
Yeah, they've got some decent players, and Chris Hughton
only lost twice.
Chris Hughton's, he's a good guy. Just celebrated his 60th birthday.
Has
Happy
really?
Birthday,
you are
Chris!
Joking.
No, he doesn't look.
He doesn't look 60,
younger,
does he?
Yeah.
I think what I'm trying to say in a very convoluted way is that after the City game, I mean, I would forget the Mulvidy game because that was meaningless and irrelevant. Yeah, and completely different changes. Team. But after the City game, we're expecting to come out and be the same. But if we're not, I think Brighton will cause us a problem because they are very good at home. They've only lost twice this season, once to Tottenham and once to Southampton.
And what you have to remember, of course, is that City didn't put anybody on Jorginho.
No, which is what we predicted, Jonathan.
Exactly, it was what we predicted because they played the way they normally play. And I suspect that Brighton will try and stop him from playing, as did Wolves. Yeah, I reckon they will.
Because he'll be defensive because Shuten is.
It's the way they now feel you play against, because Wolves did it. You play against Chelsea,
and they'll leave their foot in.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of that. Well, that was once again the same thing about Wolves, which is I know you were very disparaging about the last half hour against Wolves, but they did every possible spoiling thing they could.
And quite right. That's the way
to play. I know,
I mean, it was an appalling refereeing
display, as always.
Irrespective of what they were doing, we still didn't trouble their goalkeeper in the last 30 minutes. And I'm just going back to
that was dreadful,
game. Doesn't matter how much possession that we had and how many shots we had. How many saves did their goalkeeper have to make?
No, he still didn't have to do any,
So I think that's a real problem.
But I think that's something that the team need to learn, the whole squad need to learn, is how to shoot on target. But also being so much better than the opposition, you surely must, in that 20 minutes, not succumb and not join in or not constantly be in their faces. Just walk away from it.
But Wolves, for me, that last 30 minutes was all about having no leaders on the pitch.
Yeah, definitely. The mentality stank. I mean, they had no fight about them. And you just looked at the pitch and you had that sense that... And I think this has been mentioned by Sarri, actually. I mean, I tell you what, in spite of everything else, what I love about him, he says it all in the press conferences. He never lies. But he said about the fact that when that happens with Chelsea, they look like 11 individuals. They don't look like a team. So they're all running around trying to do their own thing, not looking at each other, not trying to do whatever they're trying to do collectively. And that Clayton's right. That tells you that there is no leadership in that team. There's nobody sitting there saying, "Oi, come in. Right, you go there. You go there. Me and you stay." You know, there's none of that going
on. But his big thing also is they just lose that shape that he drills into them, which is to just keep pressing. You think they're not a pressing team. I don't know what they're doing, is what you think in that period.
Well, they do it very slowly. One of the things I noticed about the City match, actually, is I noticed the difference between the way our front three press and their front three press.
Yeah, very different.
And
very
their
different.
Front three,
non-stop.
That's not easy to say for me. No, so I put my teeth back in.
Yeah,
my front three press very aggressively, very early.
Yeah.
And we had Hazard and Willian and Pedro
who
half-heartedly...
Yeah.
Little jogs, that was it.
Yeah.
And in Sarri's system, you've got to do it like City, otherwise you might as well not do it at all.
Why do they all insist on playing out from the back all the time when it seems obvious to me that the kick down the pitch and not a boot from the goalkeeper
against City, there wasn't anybody to win it. But our goal came from
the ball being,
us
I know, yeah,
being
sucking them
out
in,
and
luring them.
Being
yeah.
trapped in our
yeah,
corner.
Yeah,
and then,
trapped, absolutely, it's true.
But it was brilliant.
It's true.
Best thing about Maurizio Sarri for me? I think he looks...
He's so stylish. Is that
I was just about to say, I think he looks delightful in that baseball-style shirt they put him in all the time. I think he looks brilliant. I'll get you one for Christmas.
We'll
and
be
you,
watching
and
them.
You.
They're not for sale. It's a kind of customised
nice
thing, isn't it? They're great,
they look
they?
Very soft.
It's basically a pair of pyjamas with a crest on it.
They're absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. We're going to carry on.
It's a onesie. Do you know it's
we're
a onesie?
Carry
it's
on.
It's a
leisure suit. Preview to the Brighton and Hove Albion game next.
Love Sport Radio, the station giving fans a voice. Love Sport. Available on Radio Player and TuneIn Radio for your smartphone. Download now from the App Store and Google Play. This is Love Sport.
Goal in the game at Bramall Lane. West Bromwich Albion have grabbed an equaliser. A flowing move down the left-hand side. The ball pinged into the middle. And guess who it was? Who was it, Clayton?
Gareth Barry.
Throwback to 2008. Gareth Barry.
Age 48.
Yeah. Well, it was quite a thumping finish. A rasping drive, if you would.
Left foot. Put it through.
absolutely lummoxed it.
Beautifully placed, actually.
Very well, very well. Placed. Jonathan Kidd is watching it. I've never seen someone watch a TV with that much intent before in my life.
I've never watched a TV before.
Let's carry on with our preview to the game at the weekend. Yeah, what are you expecting from the lineup? What are you expecting from Surrey? Of course, you know, it's another one where you just, it's one of them games you expect three, you don't expect 3 points. You kind of 75% expect 3 points. It's one of those teams you look at, you go, yeah, we should be able to do well there. But
no, we should. You're right.
But you just
turn up.
You just never know.
Well, this is, we were saying this earlier, weren't we, Aaron, that having seen the side, I think, genuinely for the first time this season, really turn up, have absolutely the right mentality, be 100% on it, like they were against City, they've now got to continue that. You know, they can't turn up against Brighton and just think, oh, well, it's only Brighton, we'll roll them over, because what will happen is what happened against Wolves.
How do you balance the squad? Because you've got the Carabao Cup as well on Wednesday.
Well, that's a good point, because that's no longer a meaningless game, is it? You want to win that. You win that, you're in a semi-final. Sarri needs a trophy, so he's going to have to put a strong side in. We know that Morata will be out. There's a few other injuries lurking around too.
He won't. I mean, I think part of the debacle at the Moulinex was the fact that he underestimated them. He played a weakened side. I don't think he'll do that. I think he might.
He might make one or two changes.
He might do, but I mean, I think he'll go with the three amigos up front again. I don't think Giroud will start. I think he'll play the three, because if you remember last season, we absolutely destroyed them. We had Michy up front, didn't we?
We did.
And William and Hazard.
Funnily enough, Clayton, I've got it all here, but that was one of our best performances of the season last year, although
it was very
admittedly
good.
they were poor.
Well,
poor. Very poor.
So
very poor.
If you remember rightly, we went 2-0 up, we were playing absolutely brilliantly, and then Willy Caballero gave away a blatant penalty, which the referee didn't give when it was 2-0, and they hit the post. So
could have gone another way.
Yeah.
But there was that great goal, wasn't there, from Willian?
Yeah, and there was a fantastic goal from Victor Moses, wasn't it? Charlie Masonda put a fantastic ball through to Victor Moses. Mm. Where are they now?
Where are they now?
Yeah.
But, where are you now?
Where am I?
But you know, if you look at that, then you're saying, well, we expect Chelsea to win, but I'm saying that they won't do unless they're on it.
Yeah, I'm not expecting them to win. I'd like them to win, and they should win.
They've never lost to Brighton in the Premier League, although they've hardly ever played. They haven't lost for six times.
We're going to carry on, and we're actually going to get the opposition view next. AD Packham from the album Raw Radio Show will be joining us.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter, or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station. Each Saturday from 2:30, we'll be celebrating your teams. We'll be covering all the games, all the goals, and we'll be giving you your London scores first. The Score with James Sherwood and Richard Lee.
Brilliant goal!
Giving you all the latest news, and we'll let you share your views, good or bad. We want to hear from you. Give us a call on 0208 70 20 558. The Score with James Sherwood and Richard Lee. Saturdays from 2:30 on Love Sport. This is Love Sport. The Opposition View on Love Sport.
Time for the Opposition View. Before we welcome on AD from the Albion Raw podcast, I just want to add two more names to your quiz, who have both played for Brighton and Over Albion, and who both have double-barreled names.
No way.
Jake Forster-Caskey.
Okay.
Of course, Nicky Forster's stepson. And Gifton Noel Williams, who played on loan for Brighton and Hove Albion. Can you add any more, AD, from Albion Raw?
Yeah. Who have you had?
We've had
between Brighton and Chelsea, or double.
Well, we started off AD with The only three that we... Well, I could... Because I'm the stupid one on the show. I could only think of Clive Walker, Chris Hutchings and Wayne Bridge. And I think...
Keith Dublin.
Oh, Keith Dublin.
No,
oh,
I came up with Teddy, one, yeah. Teddy Maybank and Perry,
Steve Sidwell.
Perry Digweed.
Yeah, Perry Digweed.
Alexis Nicholas.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I don't remember him playing for Chelsea.
There's been quite a few over the years. Colin Pace was with you for a while,
of course, yeah. Colin was with us for a while. He lifted the full Members' Cup, AD.
I was there.
Goodness sake.
I was there.
Not to mention the Zenith. Was he
I was there too.
I know. Anyway.
I don't remember either of them.
I know. Anyway, AD, enough of Colin Pates, although we did. I see him on the bridge, actually, most weekends.
You call him Patesy, don't you?
I do. I love him. Love the man. Yeah. Anyway. As for you, AD...
Yeah, but he turned his head and then, like, a butterfly died.
Brilliant. Listen, mate, Chris, we were talking about Chris Hughton earlier on, and I think he's doing a fine job down there. How much do you think, as a manager generally, he's underrated? Because I can't imagine you as a Brighton fan underrate him at all, right?
No, I mean, we know that he's a manager that you think that the success that he's actually had... not with us, but with other clubs as well, that he would actually, his stock would actually be rising. Now, it's amazing. Last season was the first full season he'd actually had in the Premier League. And, you know, he is cautious. He is very much safety first. But, and, you know, sometimes we do wish that we could see a little bit more exciting football, but then we did see that in the Championship under him, so we can't, it's a case of careful what you wish for with a lot of supporters, I think. But he's pragmatic, he's down to earth, and, you know, he sets the standard for the whole club. You know, no, he doesn't let anyone get too high, he doesn't let anyone get too low. You know, we don't have any prima donnas at our club, and the players won't allow it.
Yeah, I mean, but on the other hand, AD, I mean, I get what you mean. We all like to see decent football, but I think, and I don't mean to sound patronising when I say this, but his mission really is to keep you in that league by any means that he can. And I've kind of wondered that actually, in a sense, okay, we're only halfway through the season, but you're mid-table, you're 13th, you've kind of won as much as you've lost, and if he does that, you'll be comfortably safe in the Premier League, and I would imagine you guys would be happy with that, wouldn't you?
We've got to be happy with that. I mean, at the end of the day, it's very much safety first, and everything else is a gloss on that. But I mean, I would like to see. I mean, last season it was very much similar to this in the fact that up until about Christmas time, it was like get as many points on the ball as you possibly can, and the handbrake was pretty much on until about Christmas time, and then we started to become a little bit more expansive. But we're sat on 21 points. We've got a tough period coming up at Christmas. We've got yourselves, obviously, this weekend. We got Arsenal Boxing Day. We go to Bournemouth, and our away form is actually woeful. So that's not something to look forward to. If we wanted success in this league, we're going the right way about it. But if we're certainly not safe now. We're certainly looking down rather than up. Although bizarrely, we are closer to the European places than we are to the relegation places, which is we're similar goal difference to Man United, which pleases us greatly.
Well, don't say that, AD, because the host of the show might get slightly angry if you say things like
say
that.
Say it.
AD, it's Clayton. really, really good to speak to you. So, apart from Glenn Murray, who is an absolute marvel, and
he's a wonderful player.
I remember him scoring for Bournemouth, a winning goal in Mourinho's last season, didn't he?
When he didn't really work for him at Bournemouth, but he's come home. And
who else should we be looking? I really like Bruno. Is he a bit of a cult hero down your way?
Yes, he is. Yeah. I mean the guys. Well, when Bruno and Glenn provided an assist and goal a couple of weeks ago, and it became the oldest goal scoring combination ever in the Premier League history, which was with Bruno at 38 and Glenn at 35.
If only. got the longest beard? Has he got Bruno in the Premier League?
Oh, that's
it's luck. He uses products. What can I say?
Oh, does he?
if only Inigo Calderon was still lurking around as well.
It's a beard of bees. It's a thing of wonder.
So who else should we be looking out for, AD? Who else is...
A lot depends on what Chris does. We know what Chelsea are like, and we think that there's going to be... if we look at what Wolves did to yourselves a couple of weeks ago, it was all about stopping Jorginho. But if that happens... then we might see Yves Bissouma not start in the game. Now, he's a player that... he's only young. We picked him up for not a lot of money in the summer. And from Lille, I think it was. And the guy is just a ball of energy. He's entertaining. He's that attacking midfielder we've been looking for a while. And he's been absolutely tremendous. And if he carries on the trajectory that he's on at the moment, you can see him moving on to bigger and better things. Also, Florin Andoni, it was a player we were trying to sign last year. We were looking at paying about 17 million quid for him last summer. So the summer before that, and for whatever reason, it never quite came off, and then Deportivo, who he was playing for, got relegated, and he had a clause in his contract which meant that rather than getting him for 17 million quid, we've got him in for 5, which is a snip in today's money. And this guy can play. He is. I don't know if you guys saw the goal he scored against Crystal Palace the other day.
No, I didn't.
No, but I'll look at it now so I can get nice and worried for tomorrow.
Is Schelotto injured still? Just not getting into the team?
He's not in the picture. Basically,
he was great last season. I thought he was really terrific.
He's a liability.
Is he? Oh, okay.
I mean, he looks like Jesus, and he's a
help
man.
City last weekend, AD, to be fair. You know, got to be honest there.
Yeah. Yeah, look, watch out for crosses.
oh, very good, very good.
Topical. SGL, I mean, El Galago, as we like to call him, the Greyhound. I mean, he is unlucky not to be involved this much, but I mean, he made a few costly errors last season, and he's not really been in the picture. We bought in Martin Montoya from Valencia in the summer. I don't know if you know of Martin, but he did actually play for Barcelona in the Champions League final.
Wow.
So, I mean, he's got great pedigree, and he's well above the pecking order of Schelotto at the moment. It looks like he may be on the way out in January.
Okay, AD, we've got one more question for you, and one question only. Just what do you know? How do you think it's going to go down? What's your prediction? Do you think Brighton are going to get a result or what?
We're good at home.
Yeah,
we back ourselves against anyone at home.
Yeah,
I mean last season, the game at the Amex was the scoreline did not show a true reflection of the game at all. In fact, with a better ref, we might have gone in 2-2 at half time because we had 2 stonewall penalties not given. You scored an absolute wonder goal, which was, I think, the whole ground applauded. Mm. And you're in the 4-0 winners. But, I mean, we actually played really well in that game. I think everyone, despite losing 4-0, went home actually thinking, we actually look really good in this. We actually had a go. Now, against yourselves this time round, I suspect Chris will be a little bit cautious. I think the first goal could be very, very important. If it goes to us, I think we could actually go on and win the game. Mm. If it goes to you, hopefully heads won't drop. Our best player this season has probably been Shane Duffy, and unfortunately he had a rush of blood to his head against Crystal Palace, and so he's not there. But Liam Balogun, he's come in, scored with his first touch against that burning smell from up the road, and he's got great pedigree. You know, he did a great job on Messi in the World Cup for Nigeria in the summer. Hopefully he can do the same with Hazard. Am I confident? No. We don't go into the game as favourites. Do I think that we can get a result? Yes, I do. it's one of those games. I could actually see it being a 4-3 or something stupid like that. Wow. But it all depends on the first goal. But I mean, it's a Sunday game, lunchtime. A lot of people have been out at Christmas parties the night before. The atmosphere
not
might
not
be
least
a
the players,
flat.
AD. You know,
no, that was last weekend in Manchester, apparently.
Fair enough, mate. We've got to go, but AD, that was brilliant.
Thank you so
thank
much
you.
For that. Cheers, AD Packen there from the Albion Raw podcast. You're an absolute gentleman. Thank you for joining us this evening. 8:43. This Love Sport Radio. Just talking about midfielders there. Clayton, you enjoying the tune?
I was... What is it?
It sounds like...
You too, innit?
Keane.
The Cult.
Oh, is that Keane?
Keane.
Roy Keane or Robbie Keane?
Clarence Keane.
Clarence Keane.
Clary.
Anyway,
I remember Keane. No, I was just saying that I thought Cesc... Obviously, we weren't playing up against anything, and when we're not playing a decent size, Cesc has loads of time on the ball. And I think, I mean, there's lots of talk of him going in January, and I'd be quite upset because I think he's been a
media
really
fabrication.
Not Cesc fabrication.
Oh, clever.
Yeah, very good. No?
I just think it's made up. Because he said last week that he was essential to the club, Fabregas.
Who? Fabregas said it?
No, sorry.
Well, Fabregas said, I'm essential to the club.
But he offers, we were saying it. When we were off air a minute
ago, he gets masses of information about
everybody. He offers something different to Jorginho. Neither of them can run or tackle, this we already know.
Yeah.
But Jorginho does very short passes all of the time, whereas Fabregas has got an eye for one of those little lobs over to the front too. Yeah. He's quite visionary.
Which would be great if we had anybody to run onto them.
But he has more variety in terms of his passing than Jorginho. I'd definitely care. I like Fabregas. I've grown to kind of love him like an old pair of slippers. You know,
I'm sure he'd be really thrilled by that.
Well, I hated him when he turned up.
Obviously.
Arsenal, Barcelona, scared of celery. What are you doing here?
Costa won us the league.
Hate's a very strong word.
Yeah.
Very much disliked.
Okay. But he was playing for us. You're supposed to embrace somebody who plays for you.
But I'm wrapped up in all of that Arsenal, Barcelona stuff.
You forget. When he joined us, it was very difficult to actually look at him in a Chelsea shirt.
Yeah.
I didn't have a problem with that.
Well, the last association before he joined us, was it not when he basically dived to get a penalty?
Yes,
against us in the semi final.
He's then playing for us, though.
Anyway,
I know.
Anyway,
you know.
Absolute shower, you two. I wanted to talk very quickly, and I know Clayton's eyes lit up about this.
Because they glazed over.
No, that was
no,
Aaron's
they're
eyes.
They're permanently
that was
glazed.
Aaron's eyes. But Aaron might learn something, because I think these events happened before he was born. But your eyes were immediate. Because I thought, wouldn't it be fun to talk about a couple of matches
so basically,
from the past against Brighton?
So basically, one of, and certain people of a certain age will remember this. So in 1983, we played Brighton away at the old Goldstone Ground, and I think it was a sort of an early kickoff on a Saturday. And this was the
bank holiday weekend.
It may well have been. I can't remember.
It seems
remember.
A bit late because it was September the 3rd, wasn't it?
Yeah. No, I'm not sure, but it was our first away game of the season, and this was the 1983-84 season. Dixon. Speedy.
Well, like, should I list the
John,
team?
John Neal. Yeah.
Yes, people love this.
Okay.
Eddie Nijveki, Chris Hutchings, Colin Pates, Colin Lee, Johnny Bumpstead, John Holland, John McLaughlin, Nigel Spackman, Clive Walker, Paul Cannavall, Kerry Dixon.
So, that was the team. Myself and my friends and several thousand others went...
How many did we have down there?
Oh, God knows. But we went up on Friday night. And it was a bit lively, but because I'd come from work, I was wearing a suit, so we were left alone.
Brilliant. But I probably thought you were police, mate.
Well, the whole load of Chelsea fans got kettled in and there's a sub. There's a great big subway on the front, and they all got kettled down there. Anyway, I think we went 1-0 down and we won 2-1, and I think Kerry scored, and it was an amazing, it was just an amazing day out.
No, it was 2-1, yeah.
Yeah, and...
two Kerry goals.
I think when the second goal went in, because I think that was towards the end of second half, people on the pitch, yep. and it was all a bit lively. I can't remember who, but I think one of our players got sent off, but it was just one of the great away games. I don't know, it might have been.
I don't know why I've got a feeling it was Canners.
It may well have been, but it was brilliant. It was absolutely brilliant. And that was, I think that was the first away game in that
policeman absolutely got clumped as well.
Everybody got clumped. It was just...
But we were everywhere, weren't we? I mean, yes. it's one of those classic... Yes. You know, when you hear the songs... For the younger listeners out there, when you hear the songs Chelsea here, Chelsea there, Chelsea everywhere, that's what we're talking about.
Yes.
When we took so many down that the clubs would take, or the police would usually take a view, that it was probably safer to have them inside the stadium everywhere than it was to have them roaming around outside. So when we scored, all four sides of the ground would go up.
That was, I mean, you got the attendance there, which is very, very thorough of you. 20,874. Now, that ground was not big.
15,000.
Yeah, I mean, it was tiny, absolutely rammed. It was just a great day.
You're lucky you went there and not the Withdean Stadium afterwards, because that was apparently
awful.
Not good.
Yeah. No.
But they were homeless for many a year, weren't they?
They were. And
they
I mean,
the
you know, no, they didn't. They went to the Withdean. I think they
were at Gillingham.
Well, they were at Gillingham.
They were at Gillingham, weren't they?
But it's a lovely story. If you love your football, it's a good story, because the Goulston ground was a fantastic little ground, and then they had those years when they'd been, you know, bad owners, all of the usual kind of story, almost dropping out. Did they drop out of the league, Aaron?
No, they went down to Division 3.
They were low down.
They nearly did, but they had all that time at the Withdean, which is an athletic stadium.
Yeah.
But they came back and they survived, and a lot of it was done from within, from the fans, and now they've got this fabulous stadium.
Bamba was the chairman.
Yeah,
No, Mike Bamba was the chairman during the Brian Clough era.
He was sure it wasn't Bamba Gascoigne.
It was Dick Knight. Who was the chairman? I think he went on to become the president of the club, but he eventually sold out to Tony Bloom once they had permission for the new stadium in Falmer. But it was a really strange set of events that they were playing at the Withdean, which was basically like a council running track. It's the equivalent of playing like the Linford Christie Stadium, you know, and just banging a stand on it.
That's where the Rangers think they might get their new stadium built. Room for Christie Stadium.
Yeah. Well, they're going to plan to demolish it first.
Mate, their ground will still be too big for them. You know, they could do it in a shed and their ground would still be too big.
It's cruel.
It is cruel, but it's QPR we're talking about, so it doesn't matter. Right, is it quiz time, Aaron? Is it time for the answers?
Yeah, I mean, you don't want a bed, do you? Do you want a Christmas bed?
A Christmas bed?
Yeah, like a Christmas track or something.
You know, it's up to Paddy.
Should we have a Christmas track, Paddy?
I thought you meant a bed that you
sleep in. Yeah, just behind the quiz, you know, behind the quiz.
I can always go la 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 la. I'm quite good at that.
Yeah, but we'd rather you didn't.
La 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 la.
In a Christmas tone.
La 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 la. Have you had any answers at all?
Yes, I have. Shall I tell you?
The media.
I'm not going to wait for the bed because it's...
So basically, we've got the two boys that played.
Tell Jonathan to be quiet, please.
Here we go. Right. Jack it up, Paddy.
All right.
I'll bring it up.
Okay. The lovely Nicole CFC, who's one of our drinking buddies in the cock, Martin's mate, if you remember, she has said Sean Wright Phillips, which is definitely on my list. Dan, the lovely Dan Silves. Now, this wasn't on my list. I discounted this earlier, but he said Yves Ma-Calambi.
Plays at Wickham Wanderers.
Yeah, though. I'm not so sure about, because I always thought it was Ma-Calambi, but... As I love Dan, I've given that to him. The response, I have to say, tonight has been terrible, so I will revert back to the normal quiz next week. Who we play next week? Leicester?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I won that quiz today.
You did well, but you can hold on for 1 second. I've got the list here, and then you can add to it.
Okay.
All right? Now, we know that Clayton said Peter Rhodes Brown earlier on, which, unforgivably, I either deleted off the original list or what, I don't know. But I've got Jake Clark Salter, which you came up with, Aaron.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, this is a bit of a naughty cheat, okay, by me. Sam Dalla Bonner.
Oh, yeah.
No, that doesn't...
Well, it's not a D or a D. It's a Dalla.
No, but that's the same as van, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's not an automobile in any way, shape or form. Okay. It's a Dalla.
All right, we'll give you that
one. You might as well have Kike De Lucas in there as well.
No, I said no D's or D's.
Yeah, well, that's...
Or Dells. Or Dells. Because we could have had Asia Dalla Bonner. Dalla, it's D-A-L-L-A.
Well, it's the same thing. Though.
I think you're being very harsh. Yeah. Now, this is
this
a good
is
one.
Chris Ree.
Aziz, I don't give a... Who it is.
Lovely.
All right?
It's nice.
Quiz time. Behave. Right. Aziz Dean Conte. Who? Exactly, Aziz Dean Conte. What a youth player, isn't it? Callum Hudson-Odoi, as we all know. Ruben Loftus-Cheek, as we all know. This is perhaps also contentious. John Obi Mikel.
That's ridiculous.
John Obi's his first name.
Ridiculous.
No, there's no hyphen between John and Obi, and no, there is no gap. Yeah. There is a gap.
But hurry, because I've got... I'm itching.
All right, okay. This was a very good one. John Tate Robinson. Robertson, even. He was playing for us early doors, wasn't he?
1937.
Possibly. And, of course, Sean Wright Phillips, which is what we named earlier on. So that's it. That's me out of names there.
Colin Kazim Richards.
Did he? Yes, he did play for... Because he scored against us when he played for Fenerbahce.
Also known as Kazim Kazim.
Beşiktaş, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, he scored against us playing for Beşiktaş.
One who plays for Everton, Dominic Calvert-Lewin.
He did not play for us.
No, but I'm just saying, Jen.
But well, they've got to play for us.
No, they're going to play for us.
You muppet.
Oh, I thought it was...
One. No.
I was about to bring out Sylvain Ivanks-Blake.
Well, you can if you like, but
they've got
no
to play for Chelsea. That was the point.
Well, what's the Callum thing? You didn't play for Chelsea.
Anyway, you've got to do the predictions, otherwise we run out.
Let's up pre-dos.
2-1 for me, I think. Clayton?
2-0.
3-1.
To us, of course.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We're going to win easily.
Yeah, you're confident, Chidge. Aren't you? Yeah, right. Well, I said 2-1.
We need to win all the next games we've got, the next seven games. We should win them all.
Brilliant. What, so I'm going Wolves. 1-3 on the official form. Brighton 1, Chelsea 3.
Yeah, done.
Chidge, Clayton, kiddo, thank you so much for joining us. We are out of time on the Chelsea Fancast. This is Love Sport Radio.
Cheers, fella. But soon there'll be a freeway,
yeah. 5:58 AM. Love Sport.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.